Hey everybody, Damara West, founder of Be Well Beautiful Woman, and I am so excited about bringing you the Women's Liberation Summit. Just in case you're learning about Be Well Beautiful Woman for the very first time, we help women to center their liberation and joy so that they can lead and live lives on their own terms. And the Women's Liberation Summit is one of the ways that we deliver that to you. And I'm so eager to share with you my guest today. So this summit is all about helping you to reclaim your authentic identity so that you can design a life that is truly rooted in your deepest desires. And the speaker today is here to inspire you and to give you practical insight on how you can do just that. So let me tell you who we have on the lineup. Maite Alde is a writer, an artist, and a nonprofit professional. She's the founder of She's Mighty Mighty, which aims to create a safe space for uncomfortable conversations around taboo topics. Her work can be found on IG at She's underscore Mighty Mighty and She'sMightyMighty.com. I am so glad that you are here partnering with me again. This is such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here with you today. And
yeah, yes,
to talk about liberation and joy and, you know, all of these different topics.
Yes, absolutely. So I know it's so early there. You're hailing us from California and we're diving right in and you're glowing and ready for this interview, which is going to be deeply expansive. So let's talk first about liberation. And, you know, when you hear that word, what does that mean to you?
You know, I think for me, I think about things in layers, right? And so when I think about liberation, it's definitely around freedom and freedom from oppression and healing. But I also think about it in terms of all those social institutions, right? Like family, religion, law, politics, education, economics. And then how does that relate to the other layers of who you are, you know, me as an Asian American woman, Filipino woman, you as a Black woman, like, and how do we free ourselves from the expectations, from, you know, bias, stereotypes, and all of these limiting beliefs?
Yeah. I love that. And you know, what's so interesting is that every time I ask women this question on the lineup, I get a different answer. And all of them, it's all encompassing, right? And I love what you said about freedom, freeing ourselves from the expectations of certain identities, right? The stories in which we have taken on from others that aren't really true at all. And all of your work is really a constitution of that, and helping people to rethink everything that they've thought about in terms of their identity and things that maybe they've never even thought about, which is so, so beautiful. So I want to talk a little bit about She's Mighty Mighty. And I can imagine that, you know, because again, how you defined liberation and how your work really illuminates that, that you're helping to support people to be liberated in a multitude of ways. And I would love to just hear the inspiration behind She's Mighty Mighty and the ways in which you feel like this body of work, in your words, is helping to liberate folks.
Yeah, I mean, I started She's Mighty Mighty in 2020. You know, before that, it was just my personal Instagram page and it was closed to just friends. And then I made it public and I started to speak more freely about and openly about the things that I cared about and calling myself out, you know, around my own biases and questioning the things that I had been taught, you know, whether it was beauty standards, colorism, anti-Blackness in the Asian community. I started to really want to talk about that from a more personal place, not in this academic sense. And, you know, and so that's really how She's Mighty Mighty grew. And I've worked in nonprofit for 20 plus years. And so I've always been around these kinds of controversial sometimes topics and issues, whether it's incarceration, you know, the foster youth population, undocumented youth. And so I think it was this sort of culmination of who I am as a professional, as a writer, as a wife, as a mother. Mm-hmm. And so that's really how that grew. And, you know, every day there's no limit to the uncomfortable conversations that we can have, right? And so I feel like there's always so many opportunities to explore that.
Yeah, yeah. It's so powerful what you said about the fact that when you, you know, started out your page, it was a personal page and you were feeling called to make these conversations more public and to do it from your own perspective, right? Which is all about authenticity and being empowered. And what gave you the courage to do that and to continue to keep doing that?
It was a conversation with a friend. I had started to write something, and the truth is I was scared. I was scared to put these things out there. And, but it was talking to a friend and talking about our kids, mm-hmm. and about how, as a parent, I want to be able to have these conversations with my child. And so I think it really started out first, you know, as that feeling of, as a mother, how do I do right by my child and put these conversations out there in the world and then also have that conversation with him?
Yeah. What's lovely about this is that's how movements can happen, right? They're very individualized in terms of these moments of drawing that we have to, as you said, to really help your child to understand and to shape the world in a way that would hopefully create a better pathway for your child. And then that became other people's children, right? And then that became other people. And so I love the simplicity of how you started, which was, I'm assuming, very small. And now you've got a following of 20,000 plus people that are engaged in a pretty ongoing basis with these very profound conversations that you've tapped into, which is rooted. And I love that you did it anyway. You were afraid, but you did it anyway, because you knew that it was something that you were supposed to do. And my sense is that that fear hasn't necessarily subsided. There's been times when I'm sure you're still afraid, yet you do it anyway, right? And so for those people out there who this is resonating with them and they're wanting to do something or wanting to do something beyond, you know, that individual momentum they have to make something better for themselves or their families, what kind of advice do you have for them?
I think it's get quiet. Get quiet. Ooh. Still.
Yes.
Keep an eye out for those signs that you know were meant for you, you know. And I think it's putting that question out there into the world, into the universe. What is my purpose? What gifts can I bring to the world? Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't wake up one day and go, oh, I have a natural gift for uncomfortable conversations. Let's roll with it.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the more that I talk to people and the more, you know, I've had friends especially over the last 2 years coming to me about conversations around race and racism. And, you know, I'm not by any means an expert in this area. Yes, I've worked in nonprofit and worked in these areas, but I think it's just starting to find those nuggets and getting quiet and still and listening. And maybe it's also muting all those, the noise, muting the noise that says you're the shoulds, all the, you should be doing this because you're this age, you know, or you shouldn't be doing this because you're this age and it's too late. You know, I think it's quieting the shoulds.
Yeah. Yeah. That was such a beautiful answer. And, you know, so often I feel like we make wellness and healing more complicated and much more challenging than what it has to be. And what I so appreciate what you said, that it wasn't that you woke up with the knowing of the very thing that you're doing right now, but you knew that there was something more that was calling you, and you continued to walk through the door, right? Because you took that inspired action, which I think so often we want the answer to be like very clear, and we want all of it right now. And the reality is that there's a progression, as you talked about. And I think that as we continue to do our healing work, we go deeper and deeper in ourselves through that stillness that you talked about, right? This is not hokey. Being still, I was just telling a friend of mine that the universe is always speaking. The universe is literally through our dreams, through magazines and books, through conversations like these, through IG, through the Pattern app. The universe is always speaking to us. And the big question is, are we listening? Are we paying attention, right? And you said it, the way that we can pay more attention is by creating stillness and space and waiting. Asking and waiting and knowing that the answers are coming, but it won't be in the ways in which we might think. Typically, it's that gradual progression, as you just talked about. Oh, that was so beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's that progression. It's that evolution. And we're so impatient. We want everything yesterday. And we want the answers to come in a nice package delivered by Amazon, you know? It comes in the most unexpected ways and from the most unexpected people. And so I think it's just
so true.
If we can believe that we're connected to every person and everything, that the answer will come. It just comes the way that you want or how you expect.
Yes, I love that. And that detachment, right, is so key. And you said it, right? If we have a certain expectation, we might miss it. And if we see every interaction, every encounter, everything that happens to us as a spiritual encounter, right? Ooh, yeah. That would change everything, right? Yeah. Which is the essence of what it means to be liberated. Yeah, that was so rich. So I want to talk a little bit about just in the short time that I've known you, which has been really lovely, right? From that very first summit when we worked together. And, you know, I know that there's been really distinct ways that you've liberated over the years. And I would love to just spend a little bit of time talking about some of those ways that have been, you know, really poignant for you, that help to really guide you in this maybe massive way or more gentle way, that progressive way to get you to where you are.
Sure. Well, I think one of the first ways is therapy. And really doing some of that trauma work and inner child work. And letting myself move through pain and sadness and disappointment. And I think once I've been able to move through that, you know, not to say that it's all gone, you know, it resurfaces, of course, every now and then, but it gives me a different perspective. And so I think in terms of just mind and spirit, I think that has been one of the ways that I've been able to liberate myself. I think when it comes to religion, I grew up in a very strict religious household, and changing the way and being open to a different kind of approach to religion to my relationship with a higher power, the universe. I think for people who grew up in religious households, strict households, I think that's an important one, where in some ways religion can hurt more than heal. I think acknowledging that. I think when it comes to education and economics, it's understanding my privilege. It's understanding where am I privileged, you know, in that I have a college degree and, you know, and a master's, and I am married. And, you know, there are all these things that, because I have these things, that it allows me to move differently in the world. And I think when you can acknowledge that, I'm not a single mother, that changes the way I can move through the world, and that I have a support system, you know? And I think that's, I think, another way that I've practiced liberating myself from just understanding who I am and how can I then support others. And then I think the biggest one, the one that I've been most public about, is around biases and around talking about how those unconscious biases pop up, mm-hmm. and acknowledging it and learning and showing people how have I apologized in the moment.
Yes.
So I think it's even freeing myself from my own ego.
So this is really important what you're highlighting. And I believe that, you know, earlier when you talked about some of the ways that you were socialized, like in ideas of anti-Blackness, for example, and, you know, really being able to identify with our privileges, which, you know, sometimes we don't want to do that, right? But the impetus for that is to connect back to our humanity, right? And so the only way that we are able to understand the liberation in others is to understand the liberation in ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. And it reminds me of something that Marianne Williamson wrote, that, you know, the essence of it is that if you are here to liberate me, then I don't need that. Right. But if you are here to liberate yourself, let's do this, because mm-hmm. the reality is that all of us have an opportunity to liberate and to work in solidarity with one another, which goes beyond, right, just my individual struggle, but what are the struggles of humanity that I'm being called to share my light, and so that I can also help to liberate others. Yeah. So that's just so, that work is so powerful to liberation, and you couldn't have even done that work, right? And to continue to do that work without that ongoing examination of the way in which you have advantages in the world and the way in which that you're disadvantaged too, right? Mm-hmm. And allowing that to really create connections and those honest depictions of what your lived experience has, and inviting people into these spaces, which is so sacred.
Thank you. Yeah, I think one of the things that I always think about is that if I can see the humanity in you, maybe you can see it in me.
Oh, that's so good. If I can see the humanity in you, maybe you can see the humanity in me. It's beautiful. So I want to switch gears just a little bit, and I want to talk about just this new project that you've launched, which I'm so excited about, and it's called the 7-Step Self Check-In. And I'm curious about why self-check-ins is so critical to our liberation. And then if you would, walk us through what the process is.
Yeah. So I have my journals since I have about 35 years worth of journals. You know, so I was journaling since I was 10. Mm-hmm. And I've always been someone who can sort of write pages and pages, stream of consciousness. But it was really in a couple things. I lost a cousin to suicide in 2012 and then a dear friend in 2019. And that really prompted me to check in with myself on a daily basis. Because I do have a history of anxiety and depression. And so I realized that it's important for me to really be aware and mindful of where I'm at all times.
Yeah.
And so it was around in 2019 when I started sort of journaling in a different way, where first I would rank my anxiety, stress, and depression on a scale of 1 to 5, you know, none to severe. And then I would rank my energy level, you know, low to high. And then I would think about my stressors. What was stressing me at the time? Was it family? Was it money? Was it my health? Was it world events, social justice issues? And then I would think about the words, 3 words that describe how I feel, you know, whether it was overwhelmed, excited, tired, scared. And then I would do just a little bit of writing to really understand what was going on in my mind. Then I would do a body scan. Mm-hmm. I think especially for people who maybe have trauma or have this very high tolerance for pain, what I realized is that I can go months without realizing that I'm in pain in my body. And so I do a body scan. And then the last thing, the 7th step, is what are my next steps for self-care? Mm-hmm. And is it calling a doctor, you know, a therapist, outreaching to friends, just going outside, you know, eating, taking shower, tidying up. And so it's just this way to really get centered. You know, for some people, mindfulness sounds, they're not ready to do the mindfulness.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
And some people also aren't interested or aren't, or just don't even like journaling. So I think this is a tool that came out of the work that I was already doing. And, you know, one of the things that I think about is the only evidence I have that this works is that I'm still alive.
Mm. Oh, wow. 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 I just feel like you should say that again, but you don't need to. The only evidence that this works is that I am still alive. That's so powerful. I'm glad that you're still alive, because just in general, right? But also because you have bestowed so many gifts that have been transformative to people's lives. And, you know, you just started really in 2020. So you're just getting warmed up, right?
Thank you.
I know that there are thousands and thousands of more, if you know, whatever the number is, that are waiting for you, that are literally waiting for you. And I love what you said, right? That you created this innovative process because this is about you meeting people exactly where they are. And it's a form of creating an accessible tool that is very simple, because we love systems. We love steps.
Yes.
Some of us don't want to feel like we're doing anything hokey, right?
Yeah.
And so you've taken all of that out of it and you've made it really simple and a way that anyone can use this process anytime. And so if people were going to adopt this 7-step process, how often do you recommend, knowing that folks like, you know, myself, I can relate to that, right? It could be months before pain begins to show up, fatigue begins to show up in my body. And so how often do you recommend that this process is utilized?
So the way I've been using it is I do a check-in in the morning just so that I understand how I'm waking up. And then I've used it as many times as 2 more times throughout the day. So 3 times in total, you know, like, especially if I wake up with high anxiety, then I do kind of a midday check-in to understand, has it gone down or am I still at the same level? What do I need to do to adjust? And then by evening, it's usually tapered off, you know? And so I think it's also a way that I give myself hope and reassurance that it passes. It doesn't feel like the pain will pass, but it passes.
Yeah. Yeah. This is so true. And oftentimes people don't want to even touch the pain because they're afraid that if they open it up, they won't be able to close it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you're offering is this, the importance of understanding that when we don't address it, right, it grows. And that's really where pathology sets in. That's where yes. illness sets in. Because as energy sources, we are supposed to be recycling through our emotions to get to those higher level emotions. Because that's part of our birthright. But we know that the day-to-day things that we encounter make it sometimes really challenging for us to climb back up that emotional vibration scale, right? To access our joy and our peace, our empowerment. And I love this process because, you know, so oftentimes we are maybe waiting on other people when we talk about wellness checks, right? To recognize, but this is a way for us to own it for ourselves, right? We can own it for ourselves. And by focusing on this and keeping it at the forefront, it allows our intention to expand, right? And so I love that you said, as frequently as you need to, essentially, you know, and like for you, that could be 3 times a day. It could be once a day. For other people, it could be once a week, but just making sure that we are utilizing some way of gauging, are we well?
Exactly.
and then a thought, you know, and action steps about how to get better. And so that was such a beautiful framework. And I know that it's going to land well with so many others. And I'm sure that it already has landed well with folks. So how do you keep liberation at the forefront? You know, you've got your 7-step process. Naturally, that's one of the ways. You talked about, you know, spirituality and how that keeps you grounded and finding that for yourself and probably your work too, to some degree. But, you know, outside of those things, how do you keep liberation at the forefront of your life?
I think it's really asking on a daily basis and having a conversation with myself and with the universe. It's, what am I supposed to learn today? What am I supposed to unlearn today? What is it that I think I know, but really there's so much more for me to learn? So I think it's just staying open and knowing that I don't know everything and there's so much more for me to learn and to discover about people, places, things, and how do I just stay open?
And this curiosity that you are, you know, so eloquently describing is really one of the gifts that we give to allow ourselves to be in the present.
Yeah.
And, you know, you said it, I am teacher, but I'm also a student. I want to acknowledge all the things that I know while also acknowledging all the things that I don't know, because the reality is that there are endless things for us to discover about ourselves, about, you know, other people, about the world. If we only stay in that curiosity mode, it's such a gift to be in that place of wonder. And so, I love that. And it's a different way that folks on the lineup have talked about. How do they stay rooted in liberation? That's the beauty, right, of having such a diverse lineup of people that are doing such beautiful work in the world and helping us to embody just the myriad of ways that liberation can take root in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, before we talk about maybe some final words of inspiration for the audience, I would love for you to just share What ways in which can we work in solidarity with one another? You know, one of the things that I've been intrigued about in your work, and there are many things, but one of the things that stands out the most to me is your work to work across racial lines, ethnic lines, identity lines. And so often we are very singular in our approach for justice and our approach for having difficult conversations around this. And yet you approach your work with in a way that is very comprehensive and touching areas that really go against the grain in terms of how you've been socialized, as you said, as an Asian American. And so talk to us about what more we can do as women to work in solidarity with one another.
Gosh, there's so much. I think it's starting where you're at. That's the first thing, right? I think it's understand what your capacity is and your bandwidth, and then start to really think about your relationships. I think that's for me where I've really done the most learning and healing and growing is in my relationships with others, and especially, in the last 2 years, it's really having these honest conversations with my Black friends, about their experiences. And I think if you're in a position in any way to mentor people or to advocate for others, really think about how to use that. I want to say power.
It is. How do you use that power? It is absolutely power, right?
Yeah.
And I don't feel like what you're saying is that we don't all have power, because we absolutely do. I think what you are inviting us to do is to think about in what ways can we leverage what we have for the greater good of supporting others across identities.
Absolutely. And understanding the power dynamics, yes. There are spaces where I know that I have power. I will be heard more than other people. And I think it's even just so simple things of how can we, if we're in a meeting, for example, and someone is misgendered, is there a way that you can correct someone or call someone in, and to help? So I think it's those little steps. It's just really understanding where the power dynamics in every situation and what power do you hold and what can you do?
Yes, yes. I love the simplicity once again of that. And that's really the way you approach your work. You're taking very complex topics and you're breaking them down to make them accessible, right? And so often, and I think I've been working in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space for a very long time as a consultant. And, one of the main things people say is that I don't know what to do. And the reality is that there are countless things to do. There are endless things to do. Yeah. And like you said, if you don't know what to do, simply asking yourself, what kind of power and influence do I have? And how can I use it for the greater good of moving the needle, right? In the small, but really significant ways, because if we all did that, it would literally set the world on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all these small little steps.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So talk to us, just final words of inspiration that you want to share with the audience regarding liberation.
My goodness. Wow. I think it's okay if it hurts. It's okay if it may be uncomfortable and if it might be painful when you get to the other side of it, when you have those aha moments, it's really worth it. So keep doing those baby steps and don't sell yourself short. Yes. You know, just there's so many ways that we can liberate ourselves. And so I think it's even understanding in where in our lives are we still stuck and where yes. can we heal and be well.
That's so good. That's so good. Oh my goodness. I cannot believe that we have come to the end of our interview. And although we shared the ways in which the audience could keep tabs on you, I would love for you to say it one last time as we get ready to wrap things up.
Sure. So folks can find me on IG at she's_mightymighty or at she'smightymighty.com.
Fantastic. And I assume that 7 framework process, though, that check-in process is on the website and probably somewhere on your IG page as well.
It will be coming soon, launching in the next few weeks.
So fantastic. Okay, good. So we'll make sure to include a link so that individuals can access that, because I know that they're going to want to do that. And thank you again for the work that you do, the ways in which you work on yourself and how that illuminates out to the world. You're doing extraordinary work, and I'm just glad to be in alignment with you, truly, my sister.
Thank you so much.
Yes, yes. All right, everyone, you heard it here. Damara West heading out from the Women's Liberation Summit, where we're helping you to reclaim your authentic power so that you can lead and live life on your own terms. Until next time, beauties, Ashe.